let us turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, looking at verses 17 through verse 30. Specifically looking at our text as verses 26 through 29. Matthew chapter 26, turning to verse 17. And reading through verse 30. So let us read together the word of Almighty God. Matthew chapter 26, beginning reading at verse 17. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man, and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' He answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it was written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of God is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' He said to him, 'You have said it.' And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins, for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we, in the Lord's providence, anticipate partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning, we want to look at Jesus instituting that Lord's Supper and what he says about it. And in that context, I also want to be reminded of what we understand by the Catechism, looking at Lord's Day 29 in the Catechism, reading together concerning the Lord's Supper, specifically what we have, what do we eat, what do we drink. And so I just want to read those two catechisms, 78 and 79. Do then the bread and wine become the real body and blood of Christ? No, but as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, nor becomes the washing away of sins itself, being only the divine token and assurance thereof, so also in the Lord's Supper the sacred bread does not become the body of Christ itself, though agreeably with the nature and usage of the sacraments it is called the body of Christ. Why then does Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the New Testament in his blood, and St. Paul, the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Christ speaks thus not without great cause, namely not only to teach us thereby that like as the bread and wine sustain this temporal life, so also his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink of our souls unto life eternal, but much more by this visible sign and pledge to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the working of the Holy Ghost, as we receive by the mouth of the body these holy tokens in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly our own as if we ourselves had suffered and done all in our own person." And so sacraments are signs and seals. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a sign and a seal of Jesus' body and blood offered for us. Well, what is a sign? What is a seal? A sign tells us where something is. It tells us what something is. It tells us something about it. Seals tell us that something is good. A document is sealed to tell us that this has authority. The Catechism puts it this way. And with His crucified body and shed blood, He Himself feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life, as certainly as I receive from the hand of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, which are given to me as certain tokens of the body and blood of Christ. The Catechism teaches, the Bible teaches us that Christ feeds us as certainly with His body and blood spiritually as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And so as we look at this passage, and as we want to look at that in the context as well, and understand the Catechism in that context, we see the theme that we want to see is that in the Lord's Supper, believers partake spiritually of Christ's body and blood. In the Lord's Supper, believers partake spiritually of Christ's true body and blood. In verses 26 and 27, we see that Christ distributes the elements of the Lord's Supper. In verse 28, we see that Christ's blood is shed for the remission of sins. And in verse 29, we see that Christ identifies the cup as wine. He doesn't say blood at that point. And so, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord's Supper, believers partake spiritually of Christ's true body and blood. Christ distributes the elements. We read, He took the cup. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then He took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant." Jesus took bread, and He identifies it as His body. "Take, eat, this is my body." Now, so often in church history, there have been grave errors made about these words here. I've told you before that when the Catholic priest raises the bread and says, "Hocus pocus," not quite, but that is when the bread is supposedly turned into the body of our Savior. Now, the Lutheran doctrine is similar, and yet they claim that it is not physically so transformed. And yet the Bible doesn't say again and again this idea. We have a sign. Now, as we said, a sign points us to something, tells us something about it. We don't stop at the sign outside of Ashley that says Ashley and say, "Okay, where is everybody?" We don't look at the can and say, "Oh, hey, here's the can that says these are beans," and take the label off and eat it unless you're a goat. These are signs that tell us what's going on. And even a very small child, it's always amazing, and I learned that by God's grace in raising Daniel already thus far, is very aware that, hey, you can have a picture, and even if it's a pretty terrible picture, you can identify it and say, "Hey, this is what I understand. This is a horse, this is a dog, this is a cow," whatever it is. They get that picture very quickly. And we need to be, as little children, understanding that signs mean something. And that's what we have before us in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. "This is my body, this is my blood," is an identification of a sign. And He took the cup, and He does the same thing. "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." He distributes the elements. And yet, as we will see, in verse 29, He then does not call the cup His blood, And the Bible continually speaks about it as the cup and the bread when we partake of it in the Lord's Supper. And so, brothers and sisters, Christ distributes elements which point to a spiritual reality. The sign, the seal of the promise of the gospel is given to the disciples and is vicariously given to us by way of the Word of God. And we see then the symbol, what the symbol is of, in verse 28. Christ's blood shed for the remission of sins. Christ's blood of the new covenant as opposed to the old covenant. Christ's blood shed is the delineator between the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant was and contained the law, especially the ceremonial law, which pointed forward to Christ. Exodus 24, verse 8. And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant which God, the Lord has made with you according to all these words." He takes the blood of bulls and of goats, and sprinkles the people with it. The purpose was to symbolize the washing of blood. Without blood, there is nothing that is cleansed, the writer of the Hebrews teaches us. And in the new covenant, the blood has been shed, the true, perfect blood of Jesus Christ. And so in the Old Testament, the blood pointed forward to Jesus Christ. In the new covenant, we stand looking backward at redemption accomplished. The salvation that was foreshadowed in the Old Testament has been fully accomplished in Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament tells us about this. One example of this is in Jeremiah 31. Verses 31 through 34. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them from the hand, by the hand, and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Forgiveness has been accomplished. Looking back at the Old Testament, we understand that in the Old Testament, every person of Israel, every believer, did not have the Holy Spirit in their hearts. And this has changed since Pentecost. By God's grace, He dwells in the hearts of believers today. And thus we have that I will put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And in the New Testament, the forgiveness has been accomplished. And so there is a great difference between what we have in the Old Testament and what we have in the New Testament, and yet there is a continuous line, as you know. Paul, writing to the Romans in Romans 3, identifies how we are saved with how Abraham was saved. Excuse me. Our faith, Abraham's faith, is in the same thing. In the Old Testament, you had sacraments that were very bloody. You had sacrifices. You had circumcision. In the New Testament, we have bloodless, at least in front of us, sacraments that point to the blood which has already been shed. And it is shed for many. We have the blood of Christ shed that we might have salvation. Jesus said, John 6, verses 51 through 55, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of this world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And of course, from a physical perspective, yeah, what Jesus says there is fairly repulsive. But it wasn't what he was saying that they understood. They were misunderstanding what Jesus was saying. We are partakers of Christ spiritually. We partake of his flesh and of his blood, what he has offered on our behalf, we partake of, so that we might have eternal life. Jesus' blood is shed for many for the remission of sins. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus' blood is shed for many, for those from the whole world, and Jesus' blood pays fully. Hebrews 9, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Our consciences are cleansed. Yes, we're still sinners. We don't sit here in church like little Jack Horner and say, what a good boy am I. We sit here in church as condemned sinners. And we sit here saved only for the sake of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And what is symbolized and sealed to us then as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And yet even as we see these things, even as we see Christ distributing the elements of the Lord's Supper, saying, this bread is my body, this cup is my blood, he says, this blood of mine, my sacrifice will be for the remission of sins. And yet at the end of his talking about this matter, he says, I will not drink, verse 29, of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He identifies the cup as wine. He identifies the fact of what Jesus is doing in the Lord's Supper. He says, I haven't transubstantiated, I haven't transmogrified, whatever word you want to use. This is still wine in front of you. This is still bread. We partake of these things not physically. We partake by the mouth of faith. I will not drink of this fruit of the vine. He doesn't say, I won't drink of this blood. That would be what we would expect. We would require some other language, some further language to tell us that there is somehow transformation going on. Remember, we talked about signs. You don't eat the label on the can of beans. Not very nutritious, if you will. We would require some further word in Scripture. But instead, the clear evidence of Scripture is that the bread and wine are still bread and wine. They are symbols. Therefore, after we're done, and we have perhaps a little wine left over, a little bread left over, oh wait, a crumb got on the floor and some mouse ate it. We don't have to worry about that. It's not a holy mouse. And we need to understand that. This is bread, this is wine. The reason that we are very careful about it is because we are doing this in the environment of worship of Almighty God. And God has called us then to be very careful. That if we eat and drink of the table of the Lord in an unworthy manner, the consequences are far greater. But that doesn't follow then afterward, if we want to have a piece of bread after church, perhaps with lunch or whatever it is, it's not holy bread. We see the same evidence in 1 Corinthians 11:26-28. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Again, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Notice it never says blood and wine there. If we eat of bread, we drink cup in the context of the Lord's Supper, we are guilty. If we do it in an unworthy manner, we are guilty of the body and blood of Christ. But he's always talking about bread and wine. He's always talking about bread and cup. And so we need to understand this. We need to understand that there is a great error when people start saying this is physically the body and blood of Christ somehow. And so Christ's true crucified body and true shed blood are the true food and drink of our souls. If we look at question and answer 79 of the Catechism, we talked about that a few minutes ago. Christ speaks thus not without great cause when he calls the bread his body and the cup his blood. He, with great purpose, teaches us that we are just as bread and wine sustain this temporal life, so also his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink of our souls unto eternal life. Christ's crucified body, his shed blood, are the true meat and drink of our souls unto everlasting life. That's what we've already read in John 6, looking specifically at verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. We need that food, that bread, that cup. We need that as nourishment. We need his body and blood as the nourishment of our souls unto eternal life. And as we said, the Jews kind of got squeamish. They said, what's going to happen here? This is a little weird. And Jesus says immediately after this, verse 63 of John 6, it is the Spirit who gives life. Flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Peter Vermiglio, back before the Reformation, put it this way, the bread and cup are visible words. They speak to us in a different language, but still language of what we have in Jesus Christ. They are the language of sacraments. And we partake of the sacraments in remembrance, as a sign, as a seal of what Christ has done for us in sacrificing himself, and as a seal that we truly receive that, as certainly as I receive from the hand of the minister, as I taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord communicated to me. Even if we could eat Christ's physical body and blood, we would not be profited. We are profited by partaking spiritually of Christ. Through the promise of God, through the sign, through the seal of the sacraments. And so, brothers and sisters, we have before us the Lord's Supper. We partake of that supper in remembrance of what Christ had to do. It is very important that we partake of this at this time of year. Because so often we see all of these, sadly, pictures of Jesus in a manger, which are abominations, by the way. But anyway, And we remember and we think, well, Jesus was just a baby in a manger. But brothers and sisters, Jesus didn't remain in a manger. Jesus came to this earth with a purpose. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, took upon himself flesh. He came to this world, Emmanuel, the Son of God. He became flesh so that he might pay the penalty of our sins. That is the gift of Christmas. Not just that God became man, but that Jesus Christ came to this earth with the purpose of sacrificing himself, of giving his life for the penalty of our sins. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to understand what we're doing at the Lord's Supper. We need to be humbled by the grace of God communicated to us in this supper. That we are, by God's grace, partakers of Jesus Christ, of all of his benefits, as if we ourselves had done it. We, who are of ourselves sinners, worthy of God's judgment, are partakers of Jesus Christ, of his body and blood, the true meat and drink of our souls unto everlasting life. We partake of that spiritually, as we've said, by the mouth of faith. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and our merciful Heavenly Father, indeed we do come before you in thanksgiving for what you have given to us. We thank you that Christ has paid our penalty in full. There is nothing that we can add to it. Indeed, O Lord, our only addition is the sins which Christ has fully paid for. And so, O Lord, we come before you in thanksgiving and in wonder that you have given to us this sign and this seal of the blessed body and blood of our dear Savior. And we pray, O Lord, that we might partake of it in remembrance of him, that we might show in this partaking the Lord's death till he come, that we might, as we partake of it, be nourished spiritually with the true body and blood of our Savior unto the life eternal. We pray, O Lord, in thanksgiving for that sacrifice once accomplished on the cross, that Christ has paid in perfection. He has cleansed us to the uttermost. And so, Lord, we come before you in thanksgiving, in praise, in honor and glory for the wonderful washing for the blood of our Savior, for his body broken, for the remission of our sins. We pray this in thanksgiving, praying even as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.